The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hi and hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. Things are festive once again. Not for me. No, for the two people seated to my immediate left. Last week we sat down with Maurice Jones-Drew and Colleen Wolfe, both of whom had something to celebrate. Today we are joined, not by Maurice, because I don't know where he is off licking his wounds, but first of all, let's say hello and heartiest of mazel tovs to Philadelphia's favorite daughter. Here she is, everybody. It's the Wolf, Colleen Wolf.
From the very start.
You know,
enough. Like, so
beautiful.
So to just make it clear,
I want to hear the whole thing.
You're not jumping on. You can listen to old shows. I know you can go back and listen to. We don't have time for that. We have a lot to kibitz about here.
We do.
By the way, okay, so yes, the Wolf. Mazel tov, you're not a bandwagon jumper here.
No.
You are authentic Kelly Green and Philly girl and all that jazz.
Yes, I do not associate myself with a lot of the terrible fans that we've seen all over Twitter and everything else. I'm not going around and punching horses or anything.
Never. You've never punched a horse.
Never. No, but you know what? I kind of want to fight that guy now.
What?
Interesting. How about the guy?
Yeah.
You know what? I think you could find these stories. I noticed they're really popping up for this Eagles game. I think you could find them if you wanted to go look for them before and after basically any NFL game. And people
right?
make up their little stories of
isolated,
like, okay.
incidents.
Yeah, you could find it. Like, oh, the Packers are the greatest fans, the Vikings. It's like, you could find this stuff anywhere.
Look who wants it. Look who learned at the knee of Belichick. Belichick's favorite son. Here he is, everybody. He's the boss.
Not supposed to talk it or something?
From around the NFL. Here, I don't know if the Patriots are going to win. I don't think the Eagles are good. Here he is. It's Greg Rosenthal, everybody.
Rosie!
Mazel tov to you as well. You've done it again. Kev, first question. It's enough already, right?
I said that after they beat the Seahawks. I said, I'm good. I mean, it's nice to keep watching, but that was the one where I felt like, that's enough. Now everything after that is just kind of
anticlimactic.
No,
right?
I cannot believe the Eagles are playing the Patriots again in a Super Bowl.
That's a weird little wrinkle about this. We're going to jump in on all of it, where the two fan bases mentally, emotionally, and otherwise reside. Also, there's a fan base, everybody. There are 30 teams out there with various degrees of sorrow going on right now. I don't think there are any, and with all due respect to Jags fans, I think Steelers fans felt entitled to, at minimum, a shot at the Patriots in the title game. They didn't even get that. They shot themselves in the foot. We don't know exactly who was doing the shooting, though, or if it were multiple parties doing that in black and gold. We're going to jump in on all that with our pal Mark Cabali from The Athletic. He is in the locker room each and every day covering those Steelers. He's going to provide insight for us on where Le'Veon Bell is going, if he will come back into that locker room once again. Martavis Bryant, Mike Mitchell, the coaching changes, who was responsible for the lack of discipline schematically and otherwise against the Jags. So good stuff coming up with Cabali. All right, back to the matter at hand and kibitzing about the two of you. The Wolf, I want to hear about where – so 52 is now set. You know, it draws ever closer. Tell us first about your experience. Pro tip, by the way, before you jump in, I'm pretty sure that you will affirm what I'm about to say, that if you have a choice going forward and you're a diehard fan of your team, better to be at the home title game than it is to be at the Super Bowl. You've been at both, Rosenthal. Where do you come down?
I think that's absolutely right. I haven't been either as a fan. I've only been in the press box or...
It's a little different.
It's just very different, I would say.
What's that like, actually? Because I've never been in Heinz Field's press box big game. Do you abide by the law, which is a crazy law that you're not allowed to make noise and cheer for your team?
Well, the only game I've been to in the last decade at Foxborough was last year's AFC Championship win over your Steelers. And I didn't like that. No, because I wasn't cheering or doing anything like that. I'm sitting next to, you know, Judy Batista and Peter King and all these people.
Right.
It's like, what am I going to do?
Cheer! Be a human being! I refuse!
But you're in the press box. And That one's open. Is that one open air or not? No, it must not be in Foxborough. You know, it's closed off. You don't really hear the crowd. It's
big
not
windows,
it's
yeah.
not the same to the point where this year I don't think I necessarily had the choice, but I did let my bosses know I want to cover the NFC game. I don't want to be at the Patriots game.
What kind of
I don't
really?
Want to
cover it. Where are your emotions? Oh, you don't want to cover it.
I don't want to be there covering like the team you root for.
Yeah, I could.
And
I
would, and I also thought, well, either they'll lose, and that's annoying, and I'll be covering that, or I'll cover them in the Super Bowl anyhow.
So, how was the Eagles press box compared to other press boxes?
Well, because the week before I noticed
there was some cheering.
The week before I noticed there was the most Homer. They didn't care about that.
Is that
they,
right?
They were
yeah.
loving it.
Yeah, you know what? I love it. That's the way you should be. You know, they now say. I really was not fully aware of all this. My first year here was the year that the Steelers played the Packers in Dallas. Obviously, I'm a Steelers fan. I showed up. First of all, I get there, and I see all of my colleagues in suit and tie.
Oh, no.
I'm wearing black and gold.
No,
and
you're
carrying
not.
A terrible towel slung over my shoulder.
No, you're not.
Yeah, of course I was. Why? Nobody told me anything, and what do I care anyway? I got to play by these rules? What am I? I'm a robot? No, I'm a human being.
Right.
And so I went in there. Not only did I make it clear who I was rooting for, I verbally, or you know, I was not going to repress emotion. And at some point, I let out a bleat of glee, and I was bleat. By one of my colleagues.
Oh,
by
no.
one of my colleagues.
Who? Reprimanded?
I'm not going to name names, but I was informed that person told my superior, you know, Damashek is not supposed to be cheering in here.
No.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
And I said, well, listen, if cheering for my team in the Super Bowl is wrong, I don't want to be right. And I continued to do it throughout the game.
I can't believe someone snitched on
you. The Wolf, are you prepared to cheer in the press box?
She was in the press box for about a quarter. But this week it was quieter.
I came by, I said hello.
We were in a different section. It felt like more like national types and some Minnesota beat writers. So actually, where I was this week, it was just kind of dead, it felt like.
Yeah.
It was the wrong place for you to be.
Right. I was in there first because they have a great buffet. So I had to get in on that. There was roast pork and broccoli rabe, and it was delicious.
Eagles would be at the high top.
The Wolf, the Wolf's the one press who taught me the pleasure of broccoli rabe. I had no idea about
what?
I remember when we stopped when we got there for the grab.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, the broccoli rabe's where it's at. I said, how good can broccoli rabe be?
Oh, my God. It's delicious. Are you kidding me? Yes. Yeah,
it's almost as good as a Primanti's.
I love me some Primanti's.
You do, yeah.
I love any kind of sandwich. Like, I just love sandwiches.
Now the Wolf.
Yeah.
So you do your morning show, whatever it's called, on the network.
Game day morning.
You do that business, and you go. You're there. You're amongst your people.
Steve Smith and I went to the parking
lot. Smelled delicious.
They were
the best.
Well, I mean,
nothing like a tailgate.
We were there.
That's one of the
people
great
were drinking behind you.
We were there before. First, we got there before they opened.
Under the cloak of night, you arrived.
No, that's the way
to do it.
It was during the day because we went and did.
Oh, it's a day.
And
right,
hits,
it's a late game. Right.
In the for Rich Eisen and that show.
Name
so
dropper.
We were there before the gates even opened to the parking lot. So then, as soon as the parking lot gates opened, I mean, it was like people just stormed to the parking lot, and it was RVs were coming in, and there were horns being honked. Someone ran out of gas, and there were a couple fans pushing a car into a spot. It was crazy.
There's a lot of Eagles RVs, like Eagles.
Oh my God, tricked out,
detailed. There's one, Welcome to Wensylvania, and like, you know, with paintings. There was
they
one.
Heard the news, right?
Doesn't matter.
There was one, you know, it was like a painting of T.O. and McNabb, and it was like a campaign trailer for their Hall of Fame candidacy. And I was like, well, I kind of respect that, but I didn't know there was.
There's so many of those.
That's
so
a silly thing to be driving around with for most
Eagles
of the year.
Fans, a side note, Eagles fans still embrace T.O.? They should, in my book. In my
Van. Sorry.
No. It's okay. So, yeah, we got some soft pretzels and crab fries, and then we went around and played, like, washers. Have you ever played that game?
No,
we played some games in the parking lot. Then we went inside, and I saw Rosie in the press box. So after, he was like, why are you here? Like, you should be with your people.
I said, don't you have friends here? Because I knew
recreate.
It was kind of a bad
spot. No reason to tell us, you know, a few days later. Just recreate it. Because this, I feel like, is you, Rosenthal, this dispassionate, like, I don't know. I'm glad
he had his binoculars.
I'm like, I don't know.
And he's looking at plays with his binoculars.
Marone's a good coach. I could see him coming up with something to beat. Whereas the Wolves, like, woo! We did it, Rosie! We're playing in the Super Bowl. Like, that'll be neat.
I was excited. I picked the Eagles.
I did too. So Rosie was like, don't you have friends here? And I was like, you know what? I do have friends here, and I'm going to go see them. So I have some friends that have a box at the Link. So I went and I hung out with them. And it's like, it's actually the woman that I went and met up with. She's the reason why I got into sports. And it was my first internship ever. It was a sports radio station. And she was like sort of my mentor. And she's like a really close family friend. So it was really cool to experience that with her and then a bunch of our old friends.
Great. How many beers did you shotgun over the course of the day?
You know, I didn't shotgun any beers.
No.
But because in the box, they have all sorts of stuff. You can get
soda. Is that true?
Yeah.
I've been told that in the days gone by that they used to have booze in the press box, but they...
No, not in the press box.
She went to the suite.
That would be amazing.
No, they used to.
I know,
when people denigrate the idea of cheering and having emotion, Harry Carey used to drink during the game. Myron Cope, whatever. There are many legends who enjoyed a drink along with the broadcast. Now shame the devil that you be a human being. I'd say let's go back to the old...
I'll never forget when Larry Fitzgerald busted up the seams, I believe, past our friend Ike Taylor in that Super Bowl to go ahead of the Steelers in that game. I had nothing on the line, although, you know, I was rooting for the Cardinals. I stood up and I said, holy, you know, expletive. And I got, you know, people were aghast. And they thought, you know, I got some hushing, some looks of
what kind of world are we living in? Why are you doing this for a living if you have no pleasure?
That's my thing. When people are like, you're such a homer, like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, if I like, oh, what? I can't have some rooting interest. It's like, of course I'm a homer. This is where it started.
I've never been to a sporting event where I don't just pick or watched on TV. Pick a team. It's like I was watching the Australian Open when I got back to the hotel at 3 a.m. and it's like, ooh, should I root for Dimitrov or Kyle Edmund? I don't know. I'm just going to pick one and root for one because that's what you do.
Of course. I mean, listen, I you know, this middling podcast is testament to wearing it instead of the nonsense of pretending or celebrating anybody who is legitimately objective. Well, I mean, what's the whole point of any of it if we don't enjoy it?
Right. You're a robot. Congratulations. Like,
yeah,
you don't
right.
have feelings. Awesome. You're void of
and
everything.
The people,
great.
Shame the devil. Listen, I'll talk to Kabali about this too, because beat writers, they're there every day and every year, and they get to know people too well, and it's a little bit of a turnoff team for team. The other side of it is, though, that you start to like guys on teams you don't like. You like the individuals on it. All that being said, these people who grow to be objective because of that sort of thing, that's one thing. But these people who tamp down their legitimate emotion because they think it's wrong, shame the devil, I say. You know? I won't stand for that kind of business. No.
The same people who think that's crazy that you would wear, you know, a Steelers jersey because you're biased, everything they do is racked with bias in terms of the sources that they have, in terms of the teams. It's like, oh, this player didn't talk to me. F that guy.
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna root against him forever. And they all have so many biases.
The axe to grind. Yeah, that is a great point. The hypocrisy is something I have missed. I do love to target the guys who would willfully keep Terrell Owens out of the Hall of Fame because he wasn't nice to me. When I tried to interview
ridiculous.
Him, he was a meanie. So that's the measure.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we're not talking about that. I want to talk about your good time. So you had a gay time.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
We went to a bar right around the corner from the stadium afterward.
Time.
It was great. And then I went back to the hotel and Stacey Dales was there. We had some drinks. It was so much fun. And then I woke up yesterday morning, Monday morning at 8 a.m. All the lights were on in my hotel. I thought that it was Sunday. I thought that I overslept. Our show on Sunday starts at 7.
Oh.
The panic that took hold of me was so strong.
Hey, what's the guy who ran into the pole in the subway doing next to me? What? How'd he get in here? Right?
Well, I was horrified when I woke up and I saw that I got into the Girl Scout cookies that were on the bed next to me at some point.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It was rough getting back yesterday. I'm not going to lie. This is...
All right. I do want, by the way, some business that we'll get to here that I've been chasing Rosenthal on for a little while now. He does do the QB index every week. And I want to address with him about how many QB changes there are going to be between now and the start of the 2018 season. I suspect a great many. And by the way, the results of the games we just watched, I think, impact that greatly. Obviously, Bortles, Foles, Keenum, where are all those guys going to go? Cousins remains the X factor in all of it. I also, much to Rosenthal's chagrin, want to do a little uniform review. You may have heard that.
Not chagrin.
You just don't care. You're apathetic about it.
I don't have good opinions on it. That's okay to be like lesser. And
what do you want to do first?
Maybe
before
you think
we do
not
all
good
that,
opinions.
Let's
maybe
start
the judge
here.
Of that.
We celebrate your team successes, and I don't care. And the people, how deluded do you need to be to think that it's we and us? Well, I mean, listen, as I always say to people, to the players directly and otherwise, you think you're in your second year on the Steelers and you're from South Carolina, you think you really care as much what happens to the Steelers as I do? It's been 40 years for me. Believe me, I'm living and dying more.
And it's true because after that Vikings game, like most of the, I went into their locker room and a lot of them are catatonic and the speaking is like the words coming out of their mouth. It's like each one is almost painful, but of course there's also a handful of like, you know, guys who join the team midway through, they're thinking about free agency and you don't get the sense with every single one of them. And why would you? Every workplace is totally different. It's like some, it's like, we lost. We lost the game. Like that's one of two results.
I think that's an interesting spot that you bring up because the unvarnished truth is this. No jive is the policy, good and bad here in 66. And I'm sorry, Jags fans and especially Vikes fans. Yes, at the end of every broadcast of a postseason game, hey, this losing team has nothing to hang their head about. Hey, they have a bright future. You don't know either one of those things.
I totally agree.
You have everything to hang your head about. You just spent the last year working towards getting to the Super Bowl, and you just came up 60 minutes short. Of course you should hang your head. And this guarantee that the broadcasters just so flippantly offered every team, they'll be back.
Right.
Will they? I don't know anything.
If I was a Vikings fan, there's no way I could
watch
the
Super
Bowl this year.
Same as losing, whatever Patriots deeds we see going forward, they're never going to have another shot at being undefeated. Missing that will haunt you forever. Vikings, even if they go to the Super Bowl next year and win it, you're never going to have another shot at a home game. No. That just sticks with you. I'm sorry, that's the truth.
That's brutal.
That's horrible. Now I want you to see you wear somebody else's hat for a minute, and maybe it gives you a little empathy. That brings me to this. Let's get to it. It's time for Freaky Sunday. Colleen Wolf, guess what? All of a sudden, you traded heads with Greg Rosenthal.
I know
that's gross. I know.
Whoa.
So suddenly now Greg Rosenthal Wolf. is a drunken Philly girl, and Colleen Wolf is a dispassionate. Like, I think
I would finally feel at home. This is what I've been going for.
A drunk Philly girl.
Belichick's a very good coach, but he's not infallible.
All right, so I'm from New
England. All right, so now you're here. We go. What happened? I don't know what just happened, but all of a sudden you're switching brains. Whoa!
Okay.
All right, Greg Rosenthal, tell us why you think the New England Patriots are going to win this game against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, that's easy. It's the Patriots. They always win. Nick Foles is going to come in to Minnesota and beat the Patriots?
Like, I'm into Minnesota.
That's not going to happen. I can't. But now I got to channel Greg a little bit. Those Eagles, he does go over to the Eagles a little bit. So those Eagles, they have a good defense. I don't know. It's going to be a good game. I've been thinking about the Eagles all year. They've been good all year, but
say something like, hey, my guys are gonna have to
this
play
is all a
setup
because he wants you
season.
To do an insulting imitation.
I don't want that at all. Why do I want that? What do you find my impression of you insulting? I think it's pretty spot on. It's good. It's a good impression.
It's a little insulting. It's a little insulting.
I mean, I think all of your, to be fair to you, and it's not personal to me, yeah. I think all of your impressions are a little insulting.
Yeah. Thank
you. You're Chris Wessling, your hands this all.
Thank you.
Right.
Actually, that's owed more to my actual lack of mastery of impressions. But if that's how you take it, so be
okay.
it.
I want to see Greg as a drunk Philly girl.
Say this, though, first.
Okay, don't tell me.
Say like, if the Patriots are going to win, they're going to need to have their best game of the season because the Eagles have a dynamite pass rush. A lot of you that, you know, do Belichick talk.
Belichick doesn't say anything, though.
We're going to have our best game.
He's going
to
be talking.
Rip your sleeves
gonna
off.
He's going to be talking.
I know. I need. Do we have scissors here so I can cut my sleeves off? Now, all of a sudden, I'm just channeling Belichick, though. It's basically we're just focused on Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Well, what about your coordinators are leaving? Isn't that like a distraction? They're trying to put together the coaching staffs. We're just focused on Philadelphia. Mm. That's it.
Colleen, tell us what
he is going to talk up Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox. Mm-hmm. And why wouldn't he? They just made the Super Bowl.
Donnie Jones.
Listen,
he's a special teams guy.
Listen, you're now Colleen Wolf.
Right.
Tell us what scares you about the Philly Eagles. Wait. No. Why the Philly? Tell us, Colleen, why your Eagles are going to beat the Patriots. I'm getting very confused by this stupid game.
Because it's time. Because all things must end. Because no one thought that the underdog Eagles were going to win any games in the playoffs. They took care of the Falcons by being the best defensive line, by being the best offensive line. They took care of the Vikings. I mean, they were underdogs in a game at home that they won 38-7. If that doesn't turn people around, I don't know what does. This is the oldest formula since football was invented. You got the best offensive line.
I'm fired up.
And the best defensive line in the league. And maybe most importantly, this is not the best Patriots team to have made the Super Bowl. This reminds me a little more of the 2011 New England Patriots who lost to the Giants in that Super Bowl. It's a fine Patriots team, but they've kind of overachieved a pretty lame front seven on defense. I mean, the Jaguars had them down 10 points in their own building.
Yep.
They're going to be in neutral field. America, come with us. The Eagles are now America's team.
Ooh.
I mean, you know what?
That was amazing.
I'm sorry. The Wolf, if you want to try to come back, I mean, I'm sorry, Rosie, if you want to try to come back here, you can. But that was pretty good stuff, inspiring even.
I've spent my entire life not liking the Patriots.
I mean, that was a Wolf. I mean, you're doing it wrong.
I can't do it. I can't do it. It's not in my DNA. I mean, it's not physically possible for me to be a Patriots fan. The last time the Eagles went to a Super Bowl, they lost to the Patriots.
Right. How about go?
I don't know who wins now because morally, I like where the Wolf's coming down here.
Now that I'm out of, you know, character, because I really stretched hard there to really embody Colleen Wolf, you know, go back and watch the last 10 minutes of that game.
Yes.
And see football at its most precise, where you need to practically make every play the right play to somehow win that game against the Jaguars, and then they somehow do it. So everyone who hates the Patriots, and it seems like that's everyone out there, I believe that even if I wasn't a Patriots fan, I would appreciate that it's like I appreciate Aaron Rodgers. I appreciated Peyton Manning when he went to the Super Bowl. I mean, this is some greatness. This is stuff we haven't ever seen before.
Literally true. Even in days where parity wasn't the goal, you know, as the league is structured at this point, it feeds parity, and for Brady to defy that and Belichick, and that's really what I've been saying now for at least half a decade. The weird thing is that it's not a dynasty. I don't know what word you call it. I guess dynasty is the one you would call it, but it's really two guys. It's not that the Patriots have overwhelmed. It's two people have. Belichick has figured out some code, like a video game, like, here's how you win. I don't know what everybody else is up to, but just do these things and we'll win every time. And then he has this QB who is always nails. The two greatest – do you agree with me on this, Rosendahl? The thing I've always said, in spite of the 28-3 rally with 17 minutes left or whatever it was, notwithstanding, I still think his greatest deed, or at least until Sunday, was coming back against the Seahawks down 10 in the fourth quarter to steal that game. Malcolm Butler notwithstanding, too. This one, I think, trumps it.
Woo.
Brady's. I think this one trumps it. You get up 10. When Lambeau made that field goal, I quietly thought, Well, I don't know if everybody feels this, but the game's over. Now.
Right.
They're not going to be able to do anything now. They have 10 points at this point in the game. They're not going to rally from this against that pass.
That was the fourth quarter. He hit that field goal. I don't think it trumps it, but it felt as unlikely or more. I would say I was more surprised, especially rewatching it. I mean, I watched it on the plane because I'd watched it just in the Eagles press box, which is a strange place. I think it was more unlikely than the Jaguars comeback was more unlikely than even that Seahawks one was.
The fact that
it was third and eight, third and 18, the fact that they punted three times in the second half across midfield on fourth and short, which is something Belichick would never do, but it's a testament to his feel for the game that this defense is so good. We just need to stretch out this game with more possessions and do field position. And ultimately, I do trust my defense right now more to get stops. And it was ultimately the right decisions to make over and over. I don't know.
How did you watch?
That's interesting. And also, Belichick, as I've told you before, and I think you kind of agree with, the history forgets he choked in the last minute of 49. He just got away with it.
A little bit.
He choked. He should have called timeout. He froze, and it wound down, and it now makes it seem like, he got in Pete Carroll's head. No, he didn't. He choked and got away with it.
Oh, stop.
Wait.
That's true.
But I need to rewind here.
And by the way, I want to say one thing, for the record, on the heels of Rosenthal.
Yeah.
I have the greatest admiration for Tom Brady. I don't want people to think that.
Yeah, no.
You hate the pay. I don't hate the pay. I hate their success against my team.
Of course.
I don't like that. But Tom Brady, yeah.
But it's
the fact that those three comebacks he just came up with were all done after he was 37 years old.
Chris Wessling wrote, crazy and dead on point, which is, you could split his career in half, and he goes to the Hall of Fame in both those halves.
That's such a
great. It's right. It's because they do call it kind of one dynasty, but really now, especially if they can beat the Eagles, it's two different. They have two different dynasties.
Well, let's not get ahead of yourself years there, Greg.
One, if they can win.
Yeah.
Come on.
Wait,
so do it for America.
Hold on. How did you watch the game on the plane?
Oh, well, you can download on Game Pass.
You can download?
On NFL.com.
I didn't even know this.
You can download games to your iPad so you don't need a.
This would have been really helpful.
All season.
The last
20
weeks.
It's terrific. You can listen to Tony Romo talk. I mean, because I didn't get that in the press box. He was great.
It must have just been a singular day. Is it the greatest day of your sports life?
Yeah. When the Phillies won the World Series, that was
better.
That was great, and it was split. Remember, the game was split because of the weather. Mm-hmm. So it was almost 2 days there.
Oh yeah,
and then
that was weird.
Even when they had the parade, I was still kind of like, did they win? Is it really? It's still this is definitely happening, right? Because I spend so much time waiting for utter devastation to hit.
On behalf of the other side of Wentzylvania / the state that owns six Lombardi trophies, we hope you make it number seven. I don't know where this weird thing came from in the last 48 hours that Pittsburgh people are rooting against Philip. Certainly not in this case, of
why
course.
Would they?
But in general, there is just no rivalry to speak of between the Eagles. There's just nothing.
There's never been.
We hate the Flyers. No, we hate the Flyers.
Right.
But there's just no connection.
And what about a which city is better type of thing? There's a little bit of
I don't know why.
It just never.
I've never had a conversation with anybody from Pittsburgh about the Eagles, as long as they lose, right? People just don't care about
it. For the Eagles, it's just mainly the Cowboys and then the Giants and Redskins.
Now, we hate Penn State. Even that's a little split. A lot of Pittsburghers go to Penn. We're not talking about that right
now. Anyway.
Let's jump in now. I want to talk about the quarterback league here and the state of it. First of all, the Wolf, what do you think about what I said before these title games were played? All of a sudden, I feel like I've been sold a bad bill of goods and have then perpetuated it onto Football America, or at least the consumers of this show, by saying that, you practically are not going to a Super Bowl if you don't have a really high-end quarterback. But all of a sudden now, I'm starting to think, you know what, with the using the Browns as the personification of my new way of thinking, you know what they should do? They should use those first two picks on the best defensive players they can get, and they would be immediately relevant. They would be immediately relevant in 2018 if they put Myles Garrett and two other dynamic defenders out there. They would be like the Jags. That's the Jags model.
But the Browns, they I mean,
and then throw money. How about this? Throw money at Kirk Cousins, and now you're really loaded.
You still need a mid-level quarter. You need like a. Yeah.
All right, so I said, go get Kirk Cousins. Now you get a high-end one. You have the money to do that. Now you're really a dangerous team overnight.
And a lot of times, well, you also don't know who's going to hit in terms of a quarterback.
That's the other thing, right? Rebuild it. Now, all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers tells us in his 2017 season, if you build your entire team around the one guy, he's immortal, and if not immortal, he is amortal, and therefore is can have his knee hurt, and then when that happens, the whole season's over. Better to just build up this massive, this dominant defense that makes you more impregnable to less easy to take. Oh, yeah, the Eagles are a good case.
Right,
for that.
Right.
Pass rush.
But if you have the picks and you have that high of picks and it's a good quarterback class, you can't just pass it up. This is a good quarterback class.
You already passed
class.
On Wentz. Yeah, I don't buy that the
league, at least for the Browns.
The league is somehow changing away from quarterbacks being absolutely necessary.
I think this year was an anomaly.
Or you could also be the Minnesota Vikings and build up this defense, which has more continuity and talent over 3 years than any defense around and was technically ranked number one. And then you can go give up 38 points to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game anyways. I'd much rather have
but you really do need a solid offensive line, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, for 3 years, when we did our what you actually have to get to a Super Bowl versus the myths like a number one receiver and so on, you don't need to have that. You do need to have – it's the least sexy answer, but it as it happens, stability – on both sides of the line. The one thing that throws it all out of whack are the Patriots. The Patriots defy all those rules. You don't have to run to win. The Patriots have proven that with Super Bowl victories in the past. But for the 31 other teams, there are certain truths that exist, and you're exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, look at what happened with Nick Foles in this last game, the way that the offensive line played. I mean, we all know about the defensive line. We've been talking about them all year. But the offensive line kept him so clean. He had so much time on so many different plays.
Yeah, they're very – like, they're big and they're very diverse. Like, they're a very tough team. Like, their running numbers haven't showed up huge in the playoffs, but being at those games, they ran when they needed to and when they wanted
to. And they were down Jason Peters, too.
That is the undercovered story of the NFC this year. When Jason Peters went down, watching that game, that was a Monday night game, I believe. Watching that game, I remember in that moment thinking, ah, that's a shame. Obviously, when Wentz went down, you thought, well, Nick Foles, when Peters went down, you thought, I mean, you know, you talk to NFL players, they say, you know, Jason Peters is perhaps in the top 15 best players in pro football. When he went out, I thought, well, people may not know this, but that's it for them.
Well, you saw the reaction that he got from the crowd in that game when it happened. He was being carted off, and he got – everybody went wild.
Depth on the line. Yeah. That's what saved him.
It's true.
Vaitai. Holy
– Palapuli Vati Vaitai.
Oh, the whoa!
Hey.
She went back into her own head. See, Rosenthal couldn't do that if he was doing an impression of you.
Big V, that's his nickname.
All right, Rosenthal, you do the index, and the Wolf, I'm interested in your insight on this as well. Let's break it down. Here's my thing. I have bet Matt Money Smith and Handsome Hank digits on this. Fingers, I mean. And the cost is – a finger if you're however much you're wrong on either side of this. I set the over under at 10 right now that between from the start of last season to the start of next season, at least 10 teams will have new starting quarterbacks. And to show how generous a soul I am, I'm not even counting Deshaun Watson, Tom Savage. That doesn't count.
Okay.
That doesn't
Deshaun count. Watson's their starter in 2017 for
it's almost one third of the league.
That's right. Now go through it and tell me. Let me tell you what I think. I think in the highly likely to change category,
okay.
Buffalo, the Jets, Jacksonville. See, I wrote this down 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Still think Jacksonville. It's a weird spot, though, that now all of a sudden, with his performance, can you really take him out?
I don't know about highly likely, but I'm going to go.
He's in dangerous territory.
Possible.
Yeah, I'll lower him to possible. Kansas City, I think they go Mahomes,
which is
certainly.
Ridiculous, though, I think.
Do you really?
Yeah. Because I think Alex Smith had a good year.
He did, but year. I do not. I know that it's people always point to, what, you're going to just take one play and you're going to blow that one play after what he did for the preceding 4 months? yeah, what he does in the fourth quarter of the big game when it's on the line is everything. And there were a couple plays on that last possession that they had against the Titans where he just flat out seemed like it was too big a moment for him. He panicked. He made decisions that were too quick. He was not cool under pressure. And I think you look at that and say, well, he is a quarterback who can get us to a level. He cannot get us over the hump. I've supported Alex Smith a long time, but I just don't think if you're Andy Reid, two divisional round, or well, that wild card this year, but then the divisional round game against Pittsburgh, in the second half there, he made some crummy throws that were...
He had a couple plays. There was a very random game where they barely had the ball. I mean, if you put him on the Eagles right now, I'd be even a lot more worried, for instance, that the Eagles are going to go win that Super Bowl. You get him with the right coach, all that. With that said, it's the contract. He only has one more year in his contract. There's no consideration of giving him another contract. Mm-hmm. So why not trade him now while you can get a couple? You can get some high picks.
That's a good point.
Denver Broncos are going to change their quarterback. That brings me to four. I've got Buffalo, okay. Jets, KC, Denver, Washington's going to change five. Arizona's going to change six. Here are my 50-50s. I'm going to drop the Jags to that. The Giants are now out of
there on Washington.
What's that?
I don't think that's an easy
Kirk?
One. I think there's
You think they're going to pay him $30 million?
I think
that would be that. See, that's what I'm talking
about. It might.
If you think that just makes everything okay, that's a faulty philosophy if you're DC.
I think they have seem to have mixed feelings on him, but I think if you were going to Vegas or whatever and you're setting who's the favorite to have Kirk Cousins on their team next year, I think it's still the Redskins.
You think so?
And maybe it's not even – maybe it's less than 50%, but I would think they're more likely than –
Where's he more likely to be? There, Jacksonville, Minnesota, Cleveland.
Minnesota? That would be interesting.
Minnesota. I think he stays in Washington with the Redskins.
He's the big chip. He's the X factor in my entire –
Well, look at the way that he played with all of the injuries that they had all season long. And all the things that happened, he still was the constant.
And I think people think the Jaguars that's the team that's going to go after them because he's got it's a great setup. They've got about $80 million in like cap space, and they can just give him like all this money.
Tom
guaranteed.
Coughlin knows him
it
well.
It looks you know, and if you were him, you would think it would be a great fit.
Do you have to though? But if you're the Jags, and you know, I reject the thing. Wow, they'll the future's so bright down in Jacksonville. Oh, they'll be right back next year. I feel like, in a weird way, certainly they'd rather be going to the Super Bowl in a week and a half. But as it is, I feel like they get away. This allows them to now get away with Blake Bortles. Whereas if he beats the Patriots in Foxborough, it's a Flacco in Baltimore thing. Well, what are we going to do? Now we must keep him. We have no choice but to retain him, right?
I guess. I mean, yeah. If he wins the Super Bowl, of course.
I also have been told.
I guess
the Vikings know that Case Keenum is not the long term answer. They might be jammed into bringing him back, but they know that. That this is not something that sustains.
Well, especially with Pat Shurmur leaving there. Bortles' contract is interesting. People think because they picked up his fifth-year option that they have to keep it, but that's not guaranteed. But it is guaranteed on March 14th. So they can do this thing where they can kind of play around, see if they can actually get Cousins or see if they can trade for Alex Smith. Because other than that, what veterans are definitely an upgrade on Blake Bortles? I mean – it'd be weird to like go after Case Keenum or something like that. But if you can get Alex Smith or Bortles, Cousins, then you do that. But if they find out that's not happening, then they'll just bring back Bortles and draft someone.
Here's another one on my 50-50 list, and I don't care about Marv coming back or not. It's time. Get rid of Andy already. It's enough with Andy, right? I know he made the big throw.
After that big play?
The one play we're going to worry about, the way he made one throw. The verdict is in.
He had one of the worst.
He's Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is not going any higher than where Andy Dalton is now. This is it. This is the best Andy Dalton's going to be.
Well, but I thought this exercise is predicting.
We are.
You need to win your digits.
Right. Send away Andy Dalton if you're the Bungles.
They're not going to do it.
You think they keep him?
I think they keep
him. They won't send away Marvin Lewis. They're definitely not sending away Andy Dalton.
That's a great
He's
point.
Pretty cheap.
Next, the Cleveland Browns.
Well, that's a definite.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's
the number at now?
That should be in your definite category.
All right. San Francisco 49ers have already made their change, so we know that they're going to be different. What about the Dolphins? Any chance on Tannehill?
I thought so, and I was told no.
You don't, yeah.
Because I did this same exercise for an article in late December. So I, you know, texted the people that know more than me, and they said, no way, that it'll definitely be Tannehill. I don't know.
I think
I still wouldn't be totally stunned.
Seven we know is coming back. What about Andy Luck? What about Jacoby Brissett?
Who knows if Andrew Luck
what
is going to be healthy? Yeah.
I think Andrew Luck, if the Colts could find anybody to take Andrew Luck, I think they would not mind getting rid of
Who's
that deal.
Who's going to take
You're
him?
Crazy.
Why is it crazy? You don't know. Talk about not knowing. Talk to people who know better. Then let's talk to some MDs who are neck specialists. I don't know.
Can't play, then no one's going to trade for him. And if he can, he's the quarterback other than Carson Wentz, that maybe the most people in the league would love to have. I mean, Josh McDaniels, in theory, is taking that job because of Andrew Luck.
I hear you, but also you 5 or 7 years ago or whatever it was, the Colts didn't want to take the risk, and they found a suitor in the Broncos who were willing to take the risk. The Chargers will not change quarterbacks at this point, although I don't think they would mind. Philly Rivers is getting up there. But I could see him being anxious and wanting to – although that team's setting up nicely. So, okay.
Yeah, no.
Scratching them out. Drew Brees is some late noise there. I've always targeted him as a guy who might move late in his
career. Well, he's a free agent.
Right.
So that's been under.
Oh my God, that's right.
It's under the radar. I would be still very surprised.
This definitely happens. I get the ten, and it is not. I'm not sweating that much about it. I got Buffalo, Jets, KC, Denver. I got to cross out the Giants now. Washington, Arizona, Cleveland, Minnesota, San Francisco.
Yeah, but San Francisco already had Jimmy G. Does that count?
He wasn't there. No, he wasn't even there until November. He doesn't count.
Oh, that doesn't count?
No, I said start of the season, and I gave you the Deshaun Watson.
Oh, start of the season last year.
Another theory I want to run by you, Rosenthal, and the Wolf, but he's tied into New England. What about my prediction, my hypothesis that Belichick is done after this season in New England?
You think what's more likely, that he's done with a win or a loss in the Super Bowl?
I don't think it matters. His decision has been
really.
Yeah, I don't think it. I don't think this. The result of this game has any.
I think it's wishful thinking, but you've had much worse theories. This one has an air of I could see that.
Well, especially with
I would love to hear the worst theories. I'd love to hear
I just heard some.
Like what? Give me one.
Can't think of them off.
Here's what they do. Here's what the heroes of around the NFL do. They lord
I'm Switzerland
over
in this situation.
They
not
lord
me
over
situation.
Me that many years ago, 4 years, 3 years ago, that I said Ryan Mallett was going to be great.
I didn't even remember that.
I thought that was it.
But yeah.
The Ryan Mallett prediction. What do I know what he's up to late at night? What I'm judging him based on, what I judge the QBs on, is how they look when I'm watching them in college football games. I watched him and said, that guy's got the goods. Generally, Damashek, the QB whisperer, whispers good noise into your ear if you're listening. This was a failure. All right.
Wow.
I didn't know what he was doing. I don't know what he's up to. But in the off hours, that's not my business.
This was a thing, huh? I didn't realize it.
Oh yes,
it's a major thing.
Ryan Mallett's always the one that I gets thrown back in my face. All right, I missed on one. Missed on one.
I mean, God, he never looked
get off
good
back.
Even with the Patriots. Give me a break.
That's true, but I listen. All right,
the Belichick thing.
I'm not revisiting
the Belichick thing.
Yes.
It has an air of, if ever he was going to leave, it would be a principled decision based on something that happened that, you know, he just didn't think was
some
right.
And Bill O'Brien noise down there was weird. Couldn't he maybe,
No, not with Deshaun Watson now.
And why? I don't like the whole, I get it that the time is right, but why are McDaniels and Patricia both openly just taking gigs, you know, so early on
the
process?
The McDaniels thing doesn't seem 100% done. And part of me thought, I wonder if Belichick did quit, then McDaniels would change his mind. But I think
I think he agrees. He doesn't want to admit it. And by the way, one other thing, as a Steelers when I bring this up, Patriots fans hit me up on social media and saying, wishful thinking, what a loser. You want those guys to. I am competitive. I don't like the Steelers being owned. I wish the Steelers would have vanquished this team. I don't want them to break up until we knock them off. And even now, if we do, it's like the excuse will be, that was when Brady was 42.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, if they win one more, it's like you, it's fine if Belichick quits if they win one more. Well, how many more do you need? It's going to only go downhill.
I just can't imagine him not doing what he's doing now.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him leaving.
I could see him doing a Pat Riley kind of gig.
Really?
Yeah, maybe.
What do you mean?
Just, you know, being president, you know, have some overarching title. Tom Coughlin in Jacksonville, same sort of setup. No?
I think he wants to coach. I agree with Colleen. I think he'll be coaching somewhere. I think it'll be in New England for sure.
Yeah.
I think it'll be for sure. let me tell you about something, Greg. This goes out to you. I want to talk about something that you may be a little embarrassed about. I don't want you to be, and you don't have to be anymore. Introducing Control GX, the first gray reducing shampoo from Just for Men.
I think this
is right up your alley there, GR. You're going to look even better, more youthful than you already do. Just for Men helps men look their best so they can celebrate who they are, what they achieve, and how they feel, no matter what the curmudgeons in the press box have to say about
That's right.
it. You cheer. Let your fan flag fly proudly and with your glorious dark brown mane, you know, not held back by any silver strands sticking out.
Yeah.
You know?
This is the one ad copy I ever read, too, so I'm very familiar with
Control. Oh, you are?
Control.
I don't know what you mean by ad
GX.
Copy. I was talking about something I'm passionate about, which is
Control GX. How's your gray situation going?
Well, you can see it. I got some in my beard there.
Yeah.
So I like it on my temples.
You don't use the product, though.
I've got it on my temples there. I guess I could erase that and make it a thing of the past.
I mean, there are whispers around the company that that – There's been coloring going on beforehand.
From whom? The handsome one? The handsome one loves this bit. I've not colored my hair.
No,
why? I am vain, and I'm vain enough
there's
to tell you
like
I pepper in.
I have multiple sources that have speculated.
I'd love to hear. Here's the.
He's so angry.
How a lot? Because it's a crazy theory. What am I hide? Am I someone who hides? I cover in my bald spot. I freely concede. I dump pepper in my hair into the flesh yarmulke to make it go away.
Yeah, you close.
If I were that vain but willing to concede that, why would I then say, no, I draw the line at admitting that I'm putting stuff in my hair?
How many?
But maybe you use that as a cover for the other thing. You know?
Look, I have grays in my hair, but it won't be there after I start using Control GX from Just for Men. You shampoo it in, you rinse it out, and you move on. It's that easy. Most guys get the results they want in about 2 weeks. Perhaps I should even try that out. And by the end of the Super Bowl, I will again have a glorious, youthful mane to be proud of. Look forward to a smart new look. Get 25% off Control GX using the code DAVE, D-A-V-E. At controlgx.com. That's Dave. 25% off Control GX at controlgx.com.
Yeah, why be a silver fox if you could just be a fox, right?
Exactly. Yeah, just be a fox.
Drop the silver.
I don't understand. What
Johnny Fox.
What crazy.
Right.
What crazy charges. I mean, that's completely illogical. MVP, what do you think about that?
They're cracking up.
Do you think that could happen? Do you think I would dye my hair, but then I would be like, whoa, no, don't ever mention
and
that.
He puts
hey, by the way, I don't mind
in.
You talking about the fact that I got a flesh yarmulke.
I don't know. I think we're going to have to investigate these sources, though.
I know. That's what I'd love to do.
Yeah.
I do it as a response to you mimicking my dear mom back in London town. That's why I tell our colleagues about it. Well, now Handsome's mum and Handsome sound exactly
the same. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know any. Hey, let's talk about, while we're into aesthetic things, this is a good place to do it. Where do you come down the wolf on the decision by your arch nemesis in Super Bowl 52 to go white? This is only, is it the third time it's happened? No, the fourth time, I believe, that this has happened in Super Bowl history, that a team who has the choice chooses to go white. Because the Cowboys obviously have always worn white at home during the Super Bowl era.
Right.
In Super Bowl V, they were required. The rules then dictated that if you're the home team, you have to wear your dark jersey.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys at some point, I think it was 13, were able to make the choice, and they chose white. But that's what they always wore wear in Dallas to this day. Same goes for the Joe Gibbs Redskins of the 80s. They preferred the white. They started doing that like your Eagles did to try and curse the Cowboys. This whole NFC East thing.
I know. It's so true.
It's great, but it's true. Do you know this, Rosenthal? You don't care about uniforms.
No, I've heard this, but you're – re-illuminating it.
About 79-80-ish, all the NFC East adversaries recognize that the Cowboys are doing something weird. They always wear their white. They're partial to the white. So when they come into our stadium, we don't want them to be happy wearing their home jerseys.
Hilarious.
So we'll reverse it on them, which my contention is, well, the Cowboys have already won the first round if you're there that much in your head.
Right.
You're flipping your home jerseys to curse them. But anyhow, the St. Louis Cardinals used to do it. They would wear their whites. And by the way, those old royal blues on the Cowboys were dynamite. And then the Eagles in the 1980 title game in Philly wore their whites. Wilbur Montgomery and company.
Yeah.
Jaworski made the Cowboys wear the blue. It worked for the Eagles. So then in 82, when the Redskins in RFK hosted the Cowboys, they did the same thing. They went white and they stuck with it throughout the 80s. They chose to wear white in the Super Bowl, I believe, against the Broncos when Doug Williams took down Elway and company. Anyhow, the Steelers did it as the sixth seed because they perceived themselves to be road warriors on the way to Super Bowl 40, so they stuck with the white. They could have worn black against the Seahawks in Detroit. They went white. They won that game. So now that brings us to this. And they are going to be wearing
the Patriots.
I'm sorry. And the Broncos in 50 chose to wear the white because they had lost the preceding year in the orange and they had a bad record of wearing the orange in Super Bowls past. So they flipped it, went white. And that worked out for them.
I can't believe how happy uniforms make you.
I love them. I love to talk uniforms.
Wow.
It's one of my passions. Anyway, the Wolf, do you feel comfortable in the green or do you not care?
The only uniform I care about for the Eagles is Kelly Green, and that's not an option right now. So,
I know. Shame on both franchises for not wearing their best. You both have in your closets these great get-ups, and neither one of you.
I love the old Patriots.
Yes.
That logo is so great.
And I think the Patriots have one of the worst uniforms now and one of the worst logos, which has bothered me since the moment they switched to the flying Elvi. So I like the whites, though, because that's how they got these comebacks that we've been talking about. The Seahawks and the Falcons were both
one of our favorite guys in the league, Chris Long, late of your Patriots, now of your Eagles, the Wolf, signed off on this last year. Willie McGinnis has also signed off on this to Super Bowl champion Patriots. Agree that the day Tom Brady retires, you retire the Flying Elvis uniform and go back to Pat Patriot. Let it stand as its own era for all of time.
I love that idea, actually.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Because you can't change it now. It would be a curse.
I think they all should go back to throwbacks. I think everyone should.
Let me reel off for you.
Although, poor Drew Bledsoe is still, he's in the new era, but you just kind of forget about him.
Yeah.
It was nice they had him, as the honorary captain, and it's like they never bring back Drew for things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they brought him back in the AFC title game when your reign began in the week after the Tuck Rule game.
That's
which
true.
Which should have been the Raiders in Heinz Field to play the 13-3 Steelers. Instead, the bum Patriots were sent our way, and then all things got off track, and they have never been right since in pro football. Since that dark day in Heinz Field, I walked out in sorrow with 65,000 other people. Cordell Stewart, atrocious in the clutch in the second half, throws three interceptions. In the postgame, I'm listening on the radio, barely can hear it through my sorrow and pain. And the interviewer says, Cordell, are you upset about today's result? No, not at all. Sometimes the best team doesn't win.
No,
not at all. I got news for you, Cordell. You're alone because 65,000 people are sick.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that.
I want to give you the greatest uniform match.
You know who this was feeling good after that game? Troy Brown.
That was – I don't get me going on the one.
You're not going already?
You know, Rosenthal, that was a bogus play, the bogus call, a missed spot. Yeah, it was a missed spot by the officials.
You can always come up with something. They were as big underdogs that day as –
with facts. I can come up with a fact that Josh Miller – flipped the field, had the punt of his life. It went down inside the 10-yard line, flipped the field in a 0-0 game relatively early on. But Troy Edwards ran out of bounds and came back in to make the tackle. The Steelers' bust rookie wide receiver came back out of bounds and in to make the tackle. So the referees flagged it, understandably. Re-kick, except that they didn't spot the ball in the left hash. They spotted it in the middle of the field. They punted it. Troy Brown took it to the house. The rest was grim history. All right, I want to tell you my favorite uniform matchups in Super Bowl history.
Please.
Packers, Raiders, Super Bowl II, the glorious white jerseys of the Packers against the transcendent number one in all the sport uniform, the black jerseys of the Raiders. Chiefs and Vikings, a dandy, the red, the home reds on the on those Chiefs against the road whites. I miss those on the Vikings. Colts, Cowboys.
Tulane Stadium, I believe.
That's right.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Muddy there, and it was it rained once again in Super Bowl IX. Funny that they did that twice. I still pine for New Orleans as a Super Bowl site. Colts and Cowboys got it on. The Colts went all white. Like I mentioned, the Royal Blue, Chuck Howley and company in the
I feel like you like the all whites.
I do like the all whites on the Colts. Steelers, Cowboys, we've seen it three times, and each time it's wonderful. The Dolphins and Redskins played a decade apart, kind of like your teams are playing.
Uh-huh.
The first time they played, the Dolphins went undefeated in the all-white against the Skins in the gold pants and burgundy jerseys. The decade later, like I mentioned, they favored the white jerseys after they beat the Cowboys in the 82 title game. They stuck with those, and the Dolphins wore the turquoise. Those two color schemes are an atrocity.
Awful.
It makes no sense, and yet when you see them together, they look dynamite. I don't know why. They look great. The Bears and Patriots was nice because you saw Pat Patriot in one of the great uniforms in pro football. And here's a wild card, Ravens and Niners. I hate the Ravens uniforms.
Oh, my God,
but somehow
me too.
Look nice. It looked good, the red jersey against
the
all-black.
On
the worst ones ever, Pats, Seahawks, one of the greatest, one of the top three or four Super Bowls ever. But dull is all get out. Just Navy Bowl. All it was just a whole bunch of Navy out there on both sides. Terrible. Niners and Chargers. Chargers had those bad Navy uniforms against the all-white Niners. Broncos, Falcons was no good. All black on the Falcons. Never cared for that. And then the Bungles and Niners, the first time they played each other in 16, the Niners wore the whites and the Bengals wore their new. That was
You're like
new.
A uniform savant.
That was the new. That was the first year they had the tiger stripes when they replaced the nicer, cleaner, simpler helmets, just the orange ones that just said Bengals on them. They should go back to those. That's my first order of business.
Wait, you think that they should go back to having Bengals on it? But don't you have an issue with the pants, the Browns pants that say Browns?
On the hat, I'm okay with it.
Oh,
yeah.
Why is it okay on the hat and not the pants?
I can't tell you why. My eyeballs tell me it's okay.
Okay.
All right, listen. I'm over the moon for you, the Wolf. I hope you have
a
great – I mean, legitimately, people say, oh, you hate the Patriots. Oh, you just got – on a personal level, what I care – I now know, like we were talking
you're
about –
You're not over the moon for me.
Just me. Sorry. Sorry, Rose.
I have many Patriots friends, Patriots fans friends, but – you guys have had so much success. It's not like, oh, I can't believe you got the. I mean, all right, you know, I've seen it. Good for you.
Like maybe share
times
a
five. Ty, it's enough already. No one cares anymore. No one's happy for
Let's
you
mix
anymore.
Mix it up.
Right. Right. That's the other side. Like rooting for a team. People say, oh, you hate this team. You're sorry to say what you're such a. I know people who root for pretty much all 32 teams. Now I'm happy for those people that they got there. I would have been happy for Maurice if his Jags had gotten there. I would have I'm less happy not because the Patriots have done it so many times. It's hard to feel glee for that for a dynasty. But yes, for me personally, I feel bad for not for myself with the Steelers. I feel bad for the good people of Pittsburgh because – the best thing about pro football in a deep playoff run is it extends the enthusiasm and obscures winter, the bleak winter. And so that's what it buys you. And I'm sorry personally because Super Bowl week is more fun if my team's in it. Now you guys get to have that experience.
I can't believe it.
What a fun time you're going to have getting the – I'm sure you're going to be doing all sorts of Eagles, this and that.
Well, and it was also so fun because I haven't been back to a game in a while. So I used to work with everybody in the press box. And so it was so nice to see so many people that I used to work with and just
catch
up with them.
Your week's
going to
be filled with high-fiving Eagles fans walking down the street. It's going to be a great atmosphere.
They're a likable team too. I think there's a lot of likable guys. You said, like, oh, it's going to be fun covering the Patriots and all that. It's like, no, actually the silver lining if they had lost that game in my mind was ultimately for my job.
The Jags.
During the week, it would have been more fun to cover the Jags because they just would have said more and it's a new story. It's like, what can you write? You know, what's new about the Patriots?
Can you imagine?
Once the game
starts. Like, can you imagine being that way?
No.
Can you imagine?
No. Just charmed.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd like to talk to
Calais. Way.
Yeah. I'd like to talk to Calais and Jalen and hear what they, well, you know, how easy it was to take down my favorite player of all time.
Then the Patriots go.
We would cut a striking figure, me and Calais Campbell standing next
For that reason alone, I wish we could have seen that. All right, so bottom line, above all else, we agree that it would have been a more compelling Super Bowl had it been the Jags then. No, I do actually think, legitimately, imagine how we would be talking now versus how we're talking about a Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl. The conversation would be just 180 degrees from now. The Jags are playing Nick Foles in the Super Bowl?
I feel like people would be like, oh, God, Blake Bortles and Nick Foles.
I think people would have embraced the insanity. That was what I was thinking. If the Jags make it, at least it'll be just.
And by the way, that is not throwing shade at Nick Foles. I'm just saying.
No, indeed.
I would have never predicted this to happen.
But my point about, is it really a QB league? If it were Bortles v. Foles, we would. I don't think I'd be getting as much pushback on that. And we agree we're going to have 10 QB changes or no? I need it now because your fingers depend on it.
My over-under is 8.5.
Ooh. 8.5?
Maybe 9. Let's go 9.
Well, how do you go half a quarterback?
Well, just that's – it's to, encourage betting.
I don't know what that is, Greg.
Neither do I, Greg. Neither do I. All right, that's it. Let's say goodbye to the two conference champs. Thanks for joining us here.
That's right. We did it, Greg.
You did it once again. Congratulations to you, but finally, the Wolf, you did it.
Finally.
Now let's talk about a team that didn't do it and the heartache it has caused on the banks of the Three Rivers with a man who knows from The Athletic, Mark Cabali. Let's get to it. All right, you've heard more than enough out of Damashek where the Pittsburgh Steelers are concerned. Right now, let's go to a true insider, a guy who's on the beat each and every day, covering all things black and gold inside the building. It's Mark Cabali, new to The Athletic, but not a newcomer, a return visitor here on the DDFP. What's happening there, Cabali? How are you?
It's not much. How you been?
Well, I've been better. I would have been a lot better, a week and a half ago had the Steelers taken care of business in Hines, dispatched the Jags, and moved on to the AFC title game. Before we kibitz about that, though, I'm looking at you. We're talking on Skype for this interview, and looming right over your left shoulder there is none other. It's not a Steelers poster. It's not a Mario Lemieux poster. It's not a Ouija Thompson poster. Nay, it is Miyagi and Danielson. It's a Karate Kid poster. I love it.
It's wonderful. I mean, this thing may be 25 years old right now, and my wife makes me keep it in my game room, but I moved it upstairs just for this interview, just so I could show it off to the world.
Is that right? This is special positioning just for us, eh?
Yes, that's absolutely right, because my wife, put it in the corner down in the game room, said, we're not putting this up, and I slide it out every once in a while, so it's legendary.
Nobody puts Cabali in the corner, but we're not talking Dirty Dancing. We can talk Swayze action movies at a later date. I mean, listen, I'm always game for some Red Dawn talk and obviously Roadhouse, but let's talk Danielson. What did you tell Juju, one of the masters on the Pittsburgh Steelers? Okay, they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, but along with the Eagles, I think they were the two best touchdown celebrators this year, right?
Yeah, Juju and Le'Veon would always come up with different celebrations. And I kept thinking, I'm like, the perfect celebration in my eyes would be the ending of Karate Kid 1 where Daniel nails Johnny LaRusso with the crane kick. I mean, that would be absolutely perfect. I guess it would have to have been, I believe, during the Patriots game. You have the fierce, Belichickian guys like Johnny Lawrence, the bad guys.
They're Cobra Kai. We all agree.
And the good guys in the Steelers, a big upset, a knockout punch, knock him out. I think a lot of the linemen could play some of the fans that attacked Daniel afterwards. I'm not quite sure who would play Miyagi, but I thought it would be great, but I don't think Juju even knows what Karate Kid is.
Who, by the way, I bet you he doesn't. That's sad, but that's where you come in. That's what Juju's a delightful guy. By the way, as delightful as he comes across in social media for people who are at a little more of a distance than you've been over the last 6 months or so?
Yeah, it's tough, though, because he's getting pulled in every direction right now. I've seen it a number of times where guys come in as rookies. First of all, rookies don't want to be heard. I mean, you didn't hear much from T.J. Watt at all this year, and that was on purpose. Those guys don't like to be talked to a lot. They want to prove it on the field. So he's been pulled out of so many directions, and I've seen it go south before where he's a great guy turn into a suspect guy, Antonio Brown. But I didn't say that. But so let's hope that doesn't happen with him.
All right. Yes, my wish is your wish as well. Let's talk about things, because obviously there's not also along with Keen touchdown celebrations. The other thing the Steelers led the league in this year, I would say, is soap opera scandals. It feels like just about every weekend on through the playoffs. And now even transcending the Steelers season, this stuff continues to go on. Let's start with what do you think happens had the Steelers rallied, they get past the Jags, they move on? How do you think the game plays out in Foxborough?
Well, I think they would have definitely played better than what they did against Jacksonville. But you know what? Until I see somebody go up to Gillette Stadium and beat them, I couldn't be very confident in what they can do. You saw their defense was a little bit suspect at the time. I know Brady was a little injured, so I probably would have had to pick against them if they went up there. But that probably would have been their best chance to date to go up there and beat them, because, I mean, they totally manhandled them other than maybe one drive, that December 17th game, and we know the Gronk drive, what happened there. So I think it would have been their best chance to beat the Belichick-Brady combo to get to the Super Bowl, but I probably wouldn't have picked them, though.
I'm with you 100%. Yes, I would not have picked the Steelers to go up there and win, but I agree that they certainly would have had a puncher's chance. That team is built to beat just about anybody, or can beat anybody on a given day. But of course, everybody talks about the discipline or lack thereof, and then also the scheme. When they lost to the Patriots in the 2016 AFC title game, coming out, several players, including Ryan Shazier specifically, sat here in Studio 66 and told us, yeah, guys just were missing their assignments. We got to clean those things up. 51 weeks later, after the Jags lost, it was the exact same talk from the players in the locker room. First of all, do you buy that? Is that? I mean, I actually skip that. We buy that that's the case if the players are saying that. Whose fault is that? I mean, 51, the entire premise of 2017 was, this is a reckoning. We need to show up. The Patriots are who we need to vanquish. We're going to be a better version of ourselves and go up to Foxborough and do it. They fall a week short of doing that. Whose fault is it that they're still missing assignments and so on?
I mean, I think you'd have to say the players. I see them get drilled on stuff every single day in practice. And one of the big things that showed up every single week that they lost this year was bad tackling. Bad tackling plays, over the top, deep plays. And those things popped up when they lost, and they would address it and address it and address it. Then things would happen. You look at that Jaguar game. I believe it was the second play of the game. Bud Dupree said, oh, there was miscommunication. I thought I was supposed to rush the quarterback. I wasn't supposed to, and all of a sudden you got a 20, 25-yard gain. There's only so many times you can drill into these guys' heads what they're supposed to do. However, maybe there's a wrong technique of what they're doing as well, because it's not getting through to them as well, because it's difficult. I don't know. It's a tough, tough thing. I guess you have to give blame a little bit to everything, but as they say, you can't get rid of all the players, right?
Right. And
apparently, Steelers aren't getting rid of any of the coaches on the defensive side. And like I said, you look back. Go back and look at all the problems they had in Chicago against Jacksonville the first game, and even some of the Patriots game. Even last 2 years ago against Miami, missed tackles. They would drill it. They would be good. Missed tackles, out of lane assignments. It's just unacceptable. Very young defense, though. So maybe that has something to do with it as well. Those front, I mean, all 11 of them. You're looking at the oldest guys, Cam Haywood, maybe Hayward's 28, and maybe Mike Mitchell's 30, but a lot of those guys young, but you can't have that excuse. I mean, you're just going to have to perform.
It really is. The head scratcher for the entire 21st century in pro football is virtually, well, all right, not the Browns, but I would say 15 to 20 NFL teams have a higher pedigreed roster than what the Patriots have. Belichick just has figured out something. I don't know what he has figured out about the game of pro football, that it's basically, I don't even know what you're supposed to call these 21st century Patriots. Dynasty doesn't feel right, because it's really two guys you're talking about. You're not talking about, it's interchangeable parts and two steady forces throughout.
I honestly believe it's one thing. It's Tom Brady, period.
Oh, you do?
Belichick. Yes, I don't think – I'm a big Brady guy, and I don't think Belichick wins all these Super Bowls. Was it 10, Super Bowl appearances now, all the AFC, everything, what he's done. I don't think he does that with Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think he does that if Drew Bledsoe played in the, you know, the mid-2000s. I think it's all Brady. And look what happened again on, what, Sunday. Mm-hmm. That final drive was all Brady, putting balls where they're supposed to be, moving out of the way, making plays. And I think that's what it is. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a secret. I just think it's Brady.
I guess so, but they do get some great performances out of guys that you're saying, wait, that guy? Why he's doing that for this team? And obviously it's not transferable for the most part. Garoppolo's played well in San Francisco, but rarely do you see a guy leave the Patriots, go somewhere else and thrive as they were in New England. But I don't want to talk about the Patriots too much. Let's solve all the riddles for all the Steelers fans out there who are scratching their head, wringing their hands. Why isn't our team in the Super Bowl? We were promised that that was going to be the case this year. Who is the defensive scheme now owed to more? It seems to me that over the last year to 2 years that Colbert and company have kind of allowed – on some level, at least, it's Tomlin's defense. It seems like they're going more Tampa 2 than what they were. He just inherited the 3-4. But correct me if I'm wrong, that's the direction it feels like. Tomlin is responsible, good or bad, for the way the defense is looking and scheming week to week.
Yeah, you know, I think this year more than any year, he had his fingerprints all over the defense more than years past. I'm not quite sure what the reason was. They did play a lot. I mean, they always played zone, mostly because, like you said, the Tampa 2, because they didn't have the personnel to play man coverage. They finally thought they had that personnel this year with Artie Burns, Joe Hayden, even the emergence of Cam Sutton late in this season, but they barely played it. I mean, they played it against the Patriots late. Other than that, they didn't play it very much. It seemed like that they would much rather go to that zone, that Tampa 2, keep everything in front of you type of situation. It's only Tampa 2. It's cover 3. All type of zones to be able to get pressure with the four guys in front, what they think they have pretty good four guys in front. But they just never went to it at all, and I'm not quite sure why. I mean, they do had some good players. I mean, Joe Hayden was unbelievable, but he was out for, what, 6-7 weeks with that broken fibula. Artie Burns took a little bit of a step back as well. I think they put together a plan where they think that they wanted to be good at everything rather than great at one thing. So there's a ton of different things out there that they're trying to do and say, like you said, like you, against the Patriots, they'd play more man. Against another team, they would play more zone. And I think it come back and maybe hurt them a little bit. I think they got the athletes to be able to play some more man coverage. They just haven't decided to do it. And that's all the talk was in the offseason.
Yeah,
let's
right.
Play more. Man, they were playing about 15% up until the Patriots game where they played a whole heck of a lot and was pretty good at it.
All right, let's go through a few of those players. I want to talk Mike Mitchell, but let's start with number 26 there. Is he in black and gold in 2018?
Yeah, I think that will definitely franchise tag him. They're pretty tight against the cap when everything circles through here and they have to sign some of these exclusive rights guys and restricted guys and practice squad guys, and they're going to have to make a lot of They're going to have to make a couple cuts that you're probably going to be surprised at. They're going to have to do a lot of rework and some deals. But, yeah, I mean, I think they really feel that they have that window, and they want this one group to have one more chance to be able to do it. What I would do is I would throw the non-exclusive tag on him, see if you get any bites out there from anybody who's desperate or wants to offer Le'Veon Bell 5 years, $65 million, and I'm going to give up 2 draft picks to take that. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of franchise tags, but I'd throw it out there. Why not? Last year they did the exclusive tag only on Le'Veon, and that's what made him really upset because he didn't know his worth. He wanted to go out and see what the market set for him, and he wasn't allowed to do that because they put the exclusive tag on him. Hey, maybe it'll be more, maybe it'll be less, but that's what I would do. But I don't think they're gonna just let him walk without anything this year.
I love that idea, and you never know who's so desperate out there that they might do it. I would take – you know who I would take a run at? If I were the Browns, I would do that. Out of spite, try to deprive your bully and steal 26. Then again, I have a lot of other ideas on what the Browns should do, too, to fix themselves. Next, Martavis Bryant. Is he back with the Steelers?
He's an interesting character.
Is he?
Put it that way.
I've heard rumors.
Yeah, he's interesting. Interesting character. I know – I mean, he – boy, he did want out of town pretty bad mid of the season here. He wasn't in the obviously, you know, he wasn't in much in the offense at all. But I don't know. I think that the Martavis and his camp thought they were holding him down on purpose just so they didn't have to pay him. Kind of crazy if you ask me. But he might be back on track. I don't know. But the thing is, if they don't extend him right now with a year left, which would be sometime in August they would do it, he's going to get the free agency, and he probably wouldn't come back. I mean, that's why I say thinking they're loading up for one more big run here, because he could be gone. Le'Veon could be gone next year, and who knows who else. I mean, Mike Mitchell would be gone the year after. I mean, the same year as well. So there's a lot of moving parts right there as well. Bud Dupree could be gone. So that's why I think they're going to try to keep this roster mostly intact moving forward for one last run at it.
So you answer Mike Mitchell, then that sounds like you think he is back, much to the chagrin of most Steelers fans, for various reasons too, by the way.
It's weird. I would think that the average Steeler fan would love Mike Mitchell. He loves to hit somebody. He loves to talk. He loves to get in your face. But since he's got here, man, he just has not been welcomed open arms by the Steelers nation, the Steelers fans. And you would think that some of the things he did that they would remember, like, oh, Jack Lambert used to do that. We love him. I'm not comparing Jack Lambert to Mike Mitchell.
I get you.
There's some reactions. I mean, we've got a guy who's – see, I'm a big fan of Mike Mitchell. I think he's a good guy. I think he's actually a little bit misunderstood. Just because he comes out and speaks his mind, people like to bash him. I'm never going to sit here and bash a player for speaking his mind. It's actually better for me. So I think he's one thing is I don't think he had a very good year at all. That's the thing you have to watch out. But the thing is, they're so tight against the cap. He's counting maybe $8 million. They could save $5 million to getting rid of him, which they might have to do. But they don't have anybody to replace him. You're looking Robert Golden. You're looking J.J. Wilcox, another possible cut. The guy they got from trade.
So, don't need that.
I mean, before you get rid of somebody, you better have somebody to replace them. I don't think they do.
Precisely. Yeah, I think that most fans watch it, and I'm not knocking them. I think that, well, maybe this is a little bit of a knock. I think people see Mike Mitchell cleaning up other guys' mess, and they assume, oh, see, Mike Mitchell blew the coverage. See, that's why he's chasing him and having to tackle him at the 6-yard line. Well, yeah, I don't think you understand what preceded that, and that's why Mike Mitchell's playing the so-called position of safety. You see, he's the last line of defense. But anywho, yeah, I don't know about all the talking. Did that feel to you like that? That after the game, a lot of people pointing fingers at Mike Mitchell and others saying it was the talk that got that. I say hokum is what I say to that. I say nonsense. Was that an actual factor that you felt impacted the divisional round game?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think Jacksonville really needed any motivation to come in here and play the Steelers well. They already did it back in October. But let me tell you something. Some of the teammates did take exception with what he said. I was in that locker room when that came out, and some of them got in his face and said, what are you doing? We're playing Jacksonville. We're not playing New England. Then he explained to himself this was a story, that interview he conducted three and a half weeks ago. Then that sort of blew over. But initially, some of those guys really did not enjoy him saying anything New England related. But when your head coach comes out a week, month before that and says basically the same thing, hey, you follow the lead. Trust me, mostly everything that comes out of those guys' mouth in the locker room comes out of Mike Tomlin's mouth at one point. So you could tell. I mean, you'll talk to five different guys and they'll tell you the same thing. You're like, wait a second. How in the world is all five guys telling me the same thing? Well, it's coming from the head coach. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is, you know, they don't like the media either, so that comes from the head coach as well.
By the way, as far as that goes, there does seem to be, it occurs to me, and obviously I'm paying more attention to what the local media, and that's a pro tip. Listen, I'm not disparaging the work we do at NFL Media, anybody individually or collectively, but the beat guys who are in the locker rooms every day, make sure you're paying attention to those guys, because they obviously are bouncing off the players and coaches a little bit more than a schnook like I am. But I do get a vibe from, you know, from afar and being on the banks of the Three Rivers around the Ravens and Patriots games in December. I do get the vibe. You guys do not collect. Am I right? Is this fair to say you guys don't love Pittsburgh sports at some point? Is that true? I mean, has it become, I'm not knocking it, but do you guys not, I get this vibe that you're dispassionate about all things black and gold. Fair or no?
I think being in the business long enough will do that to you. See, I'm not going to sit there and root for anything Pittsburgh related.
You're not.
Which is totally
Why not? No. Why not root? Why not root? Wear it.
I don't know. It never crosses your mind anymore. I guess at first, when I started in this business, I might have walked in the Steelers locker room the first time in 2001. I was like, oh my goodness, there's Cordell Stewart. There's Earl Holmes. Excuse me. And I was like, you know, blown away. Now I see
Earl Holmes is the one that made you. Earl Holmes is the one that made you swoon.
Well, he was wearing a little towel, and that was it.
Oh, I see.
The guy was like Adonis. So I was like, oh my Lord, look at this guy. And he was just a freaking beast. So that's the guy I remember. So to be honest with you, I more or less root for individuals now, and I think that might be what a lot of people do. You get to know some of these guys, and you really hope they do well. If they win or lose, and this is goes for, I can only talk about the Steelers media, mostly we want them to win because it puts more money in our pocket because we do extracurricular stuff to get money. So
I hear you. I'm not knocking you, but I also feel like there is a little bit that people may snicker, like, wait, this Dave loser actually cares whether or not the Steelers are winning. Do you hold that against me?
No, absolutely not.
I wear it. I love it.
Let me tell you something. If you're in that locker room every single day and you have to deal with some of the things you deal with, I'm guessing within a couple of years you wouldn't be much of a Steeler fan either. Saying sports in general. I'm not just saying
Steelers. No. I know that's not a thing about that. I agree with you. And the other side of that coin is, and that's kind of where I've landed too, the other side of the coin is I get tweets or whatever from people, you hate our team. There's officially no team in the NFL I hate because I've gotten to know a couple. Not like anybody is very many of these guys I would call friends, but nevertheless, you know, that's a good guy and you root for him to do well, even if he's on the Patriots or Ravens or Eagles or anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can name a couple guys I root to do poorly.
I'd like to hear that list, but I'm not going to hang you out to dry on that one.
Yeah, when they do poorly, I'm like snickering. Oh, geez, this is great.
Now I'm going to pour back over your tweets from the last 5 months and be like, huh, does he seem happy about that fumble by number whatever on the Steelers? Anyhow, last thing, is Pittsburgh right now, I give out every year the Sonic Award for the sports town that suffers the most in any given year. And that's not just who has the worst winning percentage. It's based on expectation. So obviously the Steelers have been a disappointment so far in 2018, given what happened in their one game. To me, Pittsburgh has taken a gargantuan lead on the rest of sports America between the Pirates all trading away anybody who's worthwhile, the Penguins on the cusp of missing the playoffs, and the Steelers out, right?
Yeah, those are three poor ones. If you even look a little bit deeper, and I don't know how much you guys know about the college scene around here.
Don't even get me going on Pitt basketball.
Basketball, you know, the best team in town, and what people are gravitating to now is Duquesne basketball. They haven't made the tournament in something like 30 years, so they're like 14-10, and everybody's like loving him. So you might have a point there. I mean, the Penguins might not make the playoffs. The Steelers choke in the playoffs, and the Pirates are getting rid of every single person that matters. So you might have an actual point.
Don't get me trying to root for the Duquesne Dukes. I was out there with remember watching Bruce Atkins. Was that his name in the igloo and in the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse when they would do battle? What was the guy's name? I can't think of his name. Paul, the guy who would run up and down. You're younger than I am. That was one of the great local icons. He would come down in the middle of Pitt basketball games, and he would run up and down the sidelines with the cheerleaders to the delight of the fans.
That's delighting the fans, man.
Why don't you start doing that? I want you to do that this offseason. You become the guy. You just run up. He would also take his shirt off. Take your shirt off and just start running up and down the sidelines.
You don't want to see that.
No?
I could be the Steelers flag bearer when they score touchdowns, run across the end zone and run back.
That would be good.
I could be Stilling McBeam, too. I although during training camp, it gets kind of warm. So that uniform and that costume cannot smell well. I might not even fit in that Stilly McBeam costume.
McBeam has to be there in August, Latrobe? That's no good. I didn't know that was his assignment.
Yeah, Stilly McBeam does a couple laps, and you could tell they dry clean it beforehand, and by the end of camp, he has all pit stains and stuff like that. You know, that'd be miserable.
All right, so you may become the new Stilly McBeam. You are definitely my first choice based on your great Karate Kid celebration to be Chief celebration designer along with Juju, and I will be clock manager. That's what else they need. Game clock manager. I'll just sit there. I'll stand next to Tomlin the whole game and be like, hey, coach, this is where you're supposed to take the timeout. You know, that kind of stuff.
Or let's not onside kick it. During that part, I was down by the locker room when that happened and they scored. And I'm like, oh, they're going to onside kick. I'm like, oh, wait a second. They got two timeouts and a two-point conversion. There's no use. I mean, a two-minute warning. There's no use for them onside kicking. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. He just onside kicked it.
Insane. Like, I mean, really, that was loco. Do you ascribe that to panic, or do you think that he meant what he said, that, well, our only chance was to have a fluke bounce our way because that's how little faith I had in the defense to stop them three and out? When, in fact, you knew the Jags. One thing's for sure. Some teams might try a little play action to end the game there. I sincerely doubt that the Jags would have done that. I think it was going to be by hook or by – they were going to give it to 27 three straight times and then punt the ball back to the Steelers if they had to. Why Tomlin would kick it deep – would the onside kick there is a head-scratcher.
Well, look what happened in the Patriots game. They went, 80 yards in about 35 seconds to almost to go ahead win right there. So things can happen when you kick it deep and make him punt like that. So, I mean, he's not going to back off of it either. He knows he was wrong. What are the odds of recovering an onside kick? You have to be less than 15%, right? I like better chance of stopping three and out. And
how many times does an onside kick work? When's the Steelers had a successful onside kick since Super Bowl 30? Hey,
The last time Boswell tried it, he swung and missed. Remember?
look at you with the silver lining. This onside kick was better than that one in Baltimore, at least. See, now you've given me something to smile about. good stuff, Kabali. And that's what I was going to ask you. You don't have to denigrate anyone who you're rooting against. Tell us who is, so that people know come next August and beyond. Who's the Steeler? Who's the nicest guy that we definitely should be rooting for?
Wow, nicest guy.
You want to list off 11, can.
Well, I'm going to list off the offensive linemen. I mean, Ramon Foster, tremendous guy. I'm a big Marquise Pouncey guy. David DeCastro, if he wasn't married and had a kid, you would let him marry your daughter and have kids with him. That's how great of a guy David DeCastro is.
Oh.
So I gravitate towards the offensive linemen.
All right. And I gravitate to you as the new Steely McBean. Meantime, thanks, Mark Kabali. Check out his work on The Athletic. Great stuff from him. We also got Josh Yoey there for the people who love black and gold stuff. Also now covering the Pittsburgh Penguins there as they try to stave off shame and as a two-time Stanley Cup champions missing the playoffs. Ugh, we can't have that. Kabali, have a good time at the Pro Bowl, man.
All right, I'll see you.
Hope to see you next time I visit the banks of the Three Rivers. The great Mark Kabali, everybody. And by the way, Mark Kabali, KABOLY at Twitter. That's how you track his good tweets down for all things Pittsburgh Steelers and beyond.
You listen to Dave Damashek.
Well, there he goes, and here we go too, out of Studio 66. We'll have another show for you on Thursday. What do we have? We have Josh McCown lined up, right?
Oh, that's fun.
Looking forward to Kibitzing with him. We'll see if he has any.
Well, Willie McGinnis as well.
55, Willie McGinnis.
No Ryan Mallett, though.
You could give McCown your theory about all the teams changing quarterbacks. Ask him if he's on one of them.
Consider it done. It's been a thin slice of heaven.